Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July 1st, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Czarnecki. There will be a totem pole raising event in just 2.5 weeks, and it's expected that many people will be traveling to Wrangell for the celebration. The dates are July 18th to the 20th. Over the past year, the Wrangell Cooperative Association has brought in master carvers to help teach apprentice carvers. With us today, we have Tony Harding, who is a Wrangell Cooperative Association apprentice carver. He's here with us in person. And we have Mike Hoyt, who's with us over Zoom, and he's WCA's Totem Pole Project Manager and an apprentice carver on this project. I'd also like to give a thanks to WCA's tourism coordinator, Ed Calm, and Tlingit and Haida communications director, Dixie Hutchinson. She used to be a reporter here back in the day. So they both helped make this Talk on the Rock happen. Thank you. You can call in to ask a question or leave a comment. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Tony and Mike. How are you guys today?
Hi, how are you? Good.
Good.
Is doing Mike... good. Thanks for having us.
Great. Awesome. Wonderful. Thanks for coming in. So you both served as apprentices. Tell us about your history with carving. Who wants to go? How about Mike? Would you like to go first?
Sure, I can go first. So I guess my interest in carving, you know, Tony and I both have ancestors, recent ancestors that were carvers. And so there's always been an interest in that. And then a few years back, I was really into kayaking and wanted to learn more about how to build traditional kayaks, and actually got started with carving based on that, and had a piece go sideways on me kind of, and it just started feeling more like a mask, if anything. And then I just kept on pursuing it that way. And then in the process of carving that one, decided to do more, and it just became a big, big passion. Until this carving project came up, and it just felt kind of serendipitous, like the right time to pursue that. Really a lot of our carving experience has just been in this last year with the Totem Carving Project and some smaller projects on the side.
Yeah, thank you. And Tony, what has your history with carving been?
Started with a few classes up in Juneau with the Beasley brothers. We did started with some ladles, and then we did a paddle workshop up there as well. And then moving forward, I did some form line classes with Steve Brown. And then a lot of our work is primarily working with these poles right now. So it's been awesome.
Yeah. And will you tell us about your experience over this past year as an apprentice? Let's go with Tony's.
Yeah, it's been amazing, especially getting to carve with Mikey, you know, with family. That's always a plus. And he always keeps us in check with everything we got going on. So, and learning through Joe and TJ has been amazing. They're very hands-on teachers that have been very patient with us and learning how to carve these poles. And it's been amazing to work with them as well, and as well as Tommy Joseph, too. So it's been a great time to be a part of this project, and I'm very excited for the pole raisings that are coming up.
So. Yeah, yeah. And Mike, will you share with us your experience over this past year?
Yeah, I would just echo what Tony said. You know, it's been an incredible experience being able to work with the master carvers and having them teach us things and raise us up and share so much of their knowledge and experience with us. It's been a huge blessing. And it's been really exciting. You know, when we first started about a year ago, a lot of what we were doing was just the very early stages of the carving, you know, especially with TJ. When we were starting off, we were doing sort of the prep work almost. And by the time we got, you know, maybe halfway up the pole, and then especially towards the end of the pole, you know, we were doing more of the detail work. And so I thought that was kind of a testament to TJ's, you know, teaching strategies and how he was able to bring us along and get us involved. And it's been incredible seeing that. And it's also really cool seeing the different styles that carvers have in terms of their approaches and their mindset for what they're trying to accomplish. It's been a huge learning experience for all of us.
Yeah. And so again, the master carvers are Tommy Joseph from Sitka and both brothers, TJ Squyance Yun and Joe Yun. And they're originally from Heidelberg, but I think both of them now live in Anchorage, right? And how else has it been learning alongside or learning from them and working alongside them?
It's been great. I think the best part about working with Joe and TJ is that they were so patient with us. Daily we'd come in and they have jobs lined out for us, what to do, what they wanted us to do, for Mike and I, and also Linda down there as well. Linda Churchill, shout out to Linda. Yeah, it's been great. TJ was very patient with us, and Joe as well. They both do have different styles in their teaching process, but they're also very, very good at what they do. So it's been nice to work with those guys.
Yeah, yeah. And how is what's Tommy Joseph's teaching style as well?
Tommy was a little more laid back, but he was very hands-on and methodical about his approach on each pole. So it was more of I want to say a mathematical side to his outlook on the pole. But yeah, it's definitely different, and it's not saying it's a bad thing, but it was definitely a unique style, and it's nice to see everybody else's approach to carving totems for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So Mike, can you say how you grew through this process of learning over the past year?
Yeah. So I think I would really kind of credit a lot of that to Joe and to TJ. You know, like I said, TJ really kind of took us along, and by the end of that pull really kind of helped us understand that process. And then when Joe was here, you know, we were working with him and got to see a little bit different style. But it was also during that time that I started the Killer Whale grave marker, or the Shkatu grave marker. And that was sort of my first piece as a lead carver of that size. And part of what was really helpful for that was knowing that Joe was there, and that as I was going, I was able to do what I thought was the right move, but then check in with him and say, hey, what do you think about this? You know, do you think I should change this? How should the eyes look? How should the, you know, the lips? And he would jump in and help out. Either directly or just giving me feedback, and he was really laid back too, in the sense that he would say, yeah, you could do it this way, or you might do it this way, you know, it's up to you. And so it really helped I think me as a carver to sort of see his thought process, and then obviously having him be able to jump in and show me very directly what was going to work for things, to the point where, you know, a year ago almost exactly was when we first rolled those logs into the carving shed, and we had never carved anything of that size. And now Tony and I have worked on five of them. There's just something I think special about that. And we can sort of take that with us and know that we have that experience. And it also helps in the sense that we've seen what that process looks like, and we feel a little bit more confident about doing that moving forward. And TJ's actually heading back to work on the next pole. And so we're looking forward to being able to work with him again. That'd be really good.
Nice. And Tony, how have you grown over the past year?
I when I started, I thought it was just about tools and wood, but no, it's a lot of patience and listening to the master carvers and what their knowledge that they're willing to give us. And then, and just slowing down and kind of trusting the process. There was a couple times where, refer back to TJ, we would have a couple times where we'd be measuring on with a compass on the side of the pole, and it would be kind of off, but he was like, trust your compass, not your eyes. So it was definitely a lot of patience learning over the year, to just kind of trust the process is really the biggest thing. And yeah, so.
Yeah, thanks. And will you say what the history of totem poles and Wrangell is? I guess if either one of you want to jump in.
I'll leave that one up to cousin Mikey over here.
Sorry, I'm kind of a history nerd with some of these things. I mean, historically, there were somewhere in the range of 30 to 40 totem poles in what is now Wrangell, not including the ones out at Old Town. And there was probably another 5 to 10 based off of some of the older photos from the early 1900s. And so by that point, most of the ones that had been out there had probably fallen or decayed. So I'd imagine many, many more, but just in the Wrangell area alone, probably in the range, like I said, 30 to 40. And then, you know, totem carving in the early 18 to mid 1800s, there was probably 4 or 5 consistent carvers in Wrangell. And then by the time you get to maybe 100 years later, after the CCC project in the 1940s, there wasn't really a whole lot, you know. 2 or 3 maybe working on projects here and there. And then we kind of hit a lull in the later 1900s. And so by the time we have the poles going up in 1987, it was mostly carvers from outside of Wrangell. And so one thing I really appreciated about this project was the focus on trying to raise carvers up here in Wrangell, and being able to work with the master carvers and teach folks here in Wrangell how to carve. And so there's 5 poles that are going to go up on the Raven side. The first one we did was the Cadishan pole. And that one has a really incredible history. You know, starts sort of in the early 1800s, and it goes through a couple of different iterations of replicas. In fact, if you go to the museum in the lobby area and you look up, you'll see some of the original pieces of the ones from the 1850s. And then the 2 that Joe worked on were the double-headed killer whale, or sometimes called the Gunnica Date hat, and then the Bear Up the Mountain pole. And those 2 were some of the, I would estimate, the oldest ones that we had in Wrangell. The Bear Up the Mountain with this current one, I think you can kind of call it the 5th generation of it. You know, that bear itself has been recarved, I think, 5 times now. And then the killer whale hat part, that one, the very original one, was, I believe, cut down at Old Town and brought to Shakes Island and raised on Shakes Island after they moved from Old Town to current Wrangell, and then was destroyed during the Wrangell bombardment. And so that one had a really historic connection with the U.S. Army doing the apology for the bombardment this past January. And the killer whale grave marker, you know, we see that one show up in photos in the 1880s or so, and it gets moved to the post office or where the U.S. fort was in 1890. And then it kind of disappears from photos about 20 years later, or at least that was the last photos I was able to find of it. And so being able to see that one and judging by where it was originally and where it was moved to, we believe that it was a grave marker for Shkat U, who was killed during the bombardment, who gave up his life to end the bombardment, essentially. And then the last one that Tommy worked on here was the underwater sea bear. And that one's a little less known. We do see photos of it from the 1880s onwards, and then replicated like all the others in 1940. But otherwise, there's really not a whole lot known about that one. And so those are the 5 that we finished up, and that'll be going up later this month.
Wow, thank you. And so it's been 38 years since Wrangell hosted a totem pole raising. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. July 2nd, 87. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. And so this July 18th through the 20th, the community will celebrate the five totems that you just mentioned. Why has it been 38 years? Why now?
I think it's long overdue for our community and our culture. I mean, 38 years is almost as old as Mikey. We got a new generation of carvers coming up, and we're ready to carry the torch. And I think it's a cultural revival, and with the community, yeah. And I think it's long coming for Wrangell. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree, and it is. I actually wasn't at the last one, and so sometimes I joke that everyone else got to experience it, and so maybe that was a driving force behind me wanting to be part of this one so much. But one thing that kind of comes to mind, Auntie Marge or Marge Bird, was one thing she would say about Wrangell was that we were like a sleeping giant, and that's been something that's kind of echoed in a lot of our minds for. The last decade or two, as we've really kind of taken her lead and taken her example, and tried to revitalize culture as much as we can, sort of across the board. And there's a lot of folks in Wrangell that are involved in that. And I think I've heard a lot of people mention that phrase from Marge that really kind of guides a lot of what we're doing. And so I agree with Tony. It is kind of long overdue, and it's really exciting seeing this happen. And it'll keep happening. We'll have more poll raisings in the near future.
Yeah. And so you all are both are you're obviously apprentice carvers, and then for future generations. So from my understanding, children have been coming in and you've been sharing the stories of the totems. What is that like, sharing the stories with young people?
It's been amazing. I'm the assistant basketball coach too, and some of my players get to come down and check it out and hang out and see the process that we're taking with these poles, and it's pretty cool to the native kids, and it's pretty cool to have them watch and learn and us teach them our culture, and for them to be interested in that and is very it's awesome. I look forward to if these kids are able to carve and want to carve, it will definitely be able to help them in any way possible. So it's very rewarding for sure.
Great. And so the totem pole raising event will be held in various places. Where can the community witness this historic event?
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. So the first day we'll see the first four poles go up, and they'll be installed beforehand, just with the proximity to the house for three of them. We're going to install them beforehand and unveil them. And so on the 18th is when those four will be unveiled, and that'll include three on Shakes Island, the Bear Up the Mountain, the Gunnakadate or Double Killer Whale Hat, and the Underwater Sea Bear. Those three will go up and be unveiled, and then the killer whale grave marker at the post office. And so those four will be unveiled that first Friday. And then Saturday, the Catoosan pole down at Kicksuddy Park or the Totem Park. And that one will be raised up mostly in the traditional style.
Can you speak about that? Like, how is it raised in the traditional style? What does that look like?
A lot of ropes and a lot of people, to put it simply. And so one thing that Tony and I have done is, really researched the different parts that go into a raising, how to preserve totem poles, both the ones that are going up, and then for all those folks that were driving by Totem Park about a month ago and saw Tony and I in the man lift, preserving the ones that were raised back in the 80s as well. And so traditionally, they would have dug a hole and raised it until it, part of it basically fell into that hole, and they would get it upright and then do all the fill and whatnot. The big difference for how we're doing it is that same idea of using the ropes and pulling it up will still be there. But rather than going into the ground, we have cement being poured, and we have steel that'll be used as the backing for that, the pole to sit up against. And a lot of different things that go into how do we preserve them long term. And it's been kind of a fun project for Tony and I to work on, and work on with folks in the community like Trevor Sandy and Brett and Brett Woodbury and Todd White and a few others, in terms of getting ideas and seeing what's going to work. Don Sorek and others. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. And so the Wrangell Cooperative Association secured funding for the Totem Project. Can you tell us more about that?
I that sounds like another mic question.
Yeah, no problem. Esther Reese, who recently stepped down from the position as travel administrator and took a position as COO with Lincoln Haida, she was a great grant writer, just to put it bluntly, I guess, and was able to secure a lot of funding for the project from a lot of different sources. And so was able to bring together different funding sources and different ideas. And I would help with, you know, sort of the history nerd side of getting old photos and history of the poles, but she would do all the legwork in terms of knowing where to write these things, how to write the grants themselves, and just did an incredible job. And in fact, was still writing grants to continue the project, even as she was transitioning to her new role. And so all told, it'll be about $1.1 million that was dedicated towards totem poles in Wrangell. And so we're very lucky for that. And then again, and I mentioned it before, but I think Esther had the foresight of having the project think about being sustainable and making, you know, a long lasting impact on Wrangell, where we'll have carvers in Wrangell that can carve, and not just outsiders that carve and then leave. You know, the focus on trying to have Wrangell carvers, I think, is really has set Wrangell up to be in a really good spot for future totem projects.
Yeah, and from a previous conversation I had, I think, with you, Mike, and Esther, she said the totem pole project is just part of a three-part project that began in 2011. And the first one was the replication of Chief Shake's house. And then the second was building the cultural center / the carving shed. And now the third is what's going on now with the totem poles. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and it's really cool just seeing how that kind of segues with other parts of things happening in Wrangell to revitalize the culture, and seeing the type of impact that those events have had. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Do you have plans to continue your carving, both of you?
Yeah, of course. It's the past year just hasn't taught me about carving. It's just, it's, you know, it's the patience and shaping the wood and replicating the stories that were told back in the day from our ancestors into the poles. It's a very, very unique, what's the word? It's been overwhelming at sometimes, but you know, doing it with family too is always a plus. Keeping him around, he keeps me in check too, a little bit here and there. So, but yeah, no, I definitely do plan on doing some more poles, as long as we can, you know, keep this culture thriving in Wrangell and the community here. It's definitely a big piece of coming home. So.
And Mike, what about you? What does your future look like with carving?
Yeah, I would echo what Tony said there. You know, we want to see as many of the poles in Wrangell get replicated as we can, and we'd be open to working on projects outside of Wrangell, I think, but really our focus is and our passion is on the Wrangell totem pole and wanting to see those replicated. We do have more funding available to do future totems, and so we'll just keep on working on those for as long as we can, and we'll keep on trying to pursue grants to do that. You know, like I said, historically there are about 30 to 40 poles, and so we got quite a ways ahead of us if we want to keep on going and kind of get Wrangell back up to that kind of status. And you know, one thing I think that Wrangell has that other you know, big tourist towns like Juneau or Ketchikan don't necessarily, and we've heard this from tourists stopping by the carving shed, is, you know, they get to see the process up close and talk with the carvers in a way that you just don't really see in other communities. And so I think this is a project that has really brought a lot of different things to Wrangell, and it's really a community project. We've had a lot of people stop by and just talk to us or bring food and contribute in a lot of different ways. And so it's, I think the thing I'm really excited about with the pole raising is it's a community event, and it brings, you know, this project, which has been a huge community project, and it's an opportunity to celebrate what that looks like and bring everybody together.
Yeah, thank you. And my last question is, after the totem pole raising, what are the plans for the following year? Is it one pole, or are there more than one?
Ideally more. As of right now, one. TJ Young will be back again around the end of August, September sometime, and we will be doing another cottage pole. So that is in the works right now. Like I said, ideally more though would be the bigger picture. So
yeah. Is there anything else either of you would like to add to this conversation?
Just like to thank the community. EdCom for keeping us in check down there. Ed Relatis and the board, everybody. Yeah, and from Mikey, keeping us in check too.
I think Tony, you know, hit a lot of the thank yous for the community, and I guess one thing I would mention is, you know, for folks in Wrangell, please feel free to stop by and see what's happening, you know, whether it's at the carving shed, and then especially during the events. You know, to me, these are kind of a symbol of who we are. For our clans, but also for the community at large. And so I'd really love to see people be there and to see it, and to just have fun. It's going to be the kind of thing that I think gets talked about, you know, for generations. And we're just excited to see that happen and see it continue.
Yeah. And speaking of the dates, so July 18th through the 20th, what time? Is there a set time right now? And is it beginning at Shakes Island?
Do you have a schedule for that, Mike? I don't have it on my on my calendar right now.
I don't on my off the top of my head for the one on Friday. So one thing that WCA has done, I think, incredibly well is try to bridge that gap between being the federally recognized tribe and working with our traditional governance systems with the clans, and working with the clans on organizing the sort of ceremonial side of things. And so the Friday one with the four going up, I don't have specific times off the top of my head, but the one happening for on Saturday, the Kadishan one with the Raven side, the plan will be meeting at the carving shed around 11, carrying the pole down to Totem Park, and then raising it. And so if people wanted to show up around 11 or to see that process, and I'm not sure exactly what time the pole would go up, but that'd be, you know, sometime after 11 o'clock.
Great. Thank you. Thank you both so much for coming in and talking with me and the rest of the community who's listening. That was Apprentice Carvers Mike Hoyt and Tony Harding